It's truly great to be with you today. I have been in your facility numerous times, but this is the first chance that I've had to literally stand and speak the word of God to us. And so it's a true privilege. I'd just like to continue in prayer here as we open up his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have entrusted to us. Not only have you created us, but you have been with us and guiding us through your spirit, through your people, throughout generation to generation. And so even now as we open your word today, Lord, we thank you for what we have as a continuing story of what it means to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And so as we open this passage and we think about what Jesus was seeking to say, may we hear it also as his disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this message, Completing Joy, because I felt it would sound pretty downer if I said we're going to complete obedience and we're going to be disciplined and we're going to follow all the commands that Jesus offered. Even though we all know we should be doing that, it isn't a great way to get us underway when we're thinking about what Jesus was trying to share with his disciples. The reality is we are in the middle of Lent, but the story that we are taking out of the scriptures today from the Gospel of John is Jesus seeking to encourage his disciples to hang in there. He was about to leave, but he didn't want that to be the end of the story, because as we are well aware, it's the beginning of the story as Jesus goes to the cross and redeems all of us by what he does in one person, in the divine reality of Jesus Christ, for the love of the world, us, his children. But he wants us to complete our joy. He says that to his disciples that are in front of him, and he says that to us. So hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. The text is a familiar text, and sometimes familiarity can have a sense of causing us to get a little bit lax in how we hear it. We've heard that text before, and much of what I may say you have heard before, but it is good that we continue to repeat and to hold fast to the Word of God. When you think about that sense of abiding, what does that mean to you? How does one abide? What would that mean in today's world? I think what we need to do to begin to appreciate this idea of abiding or resting or standing firm, we need to think about the next coming of Christ. In the Easter season, we are prone, and we should remember the work that Christ did on the cross. But we remember it best as we continue to hope for the future. Christ promised his disciples, and he promises us, that he is going to return. The very fact that we celebrate Easter is a time where we remember his coming. But it is more about his coming again. He came in order to complete a task, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins. But he's promising something greater, that we will return to be with him for all eternity. Some of the songs that we are singing this morning are wonderful testimonies of the promise that Christ has made when he says that he wants us to hang in there with him. Stick with the things that we know so well. That's what it means, as it were, to abide and to begin to think about how do we remain in that vine? How do we allow ourselves to be shaped? When we think about this bad branch is not bearing fruit and they get cut off, that sounds a little scary, because we all know ourselves full well. And are we bearing the kind of fruit that Jesus wants? Are we a branch that may be cut off and withers? I don't believe so. I believe the very presence of yourselves being in this building and the buildings like it around the world, or the locations around the world, where the name of Jesus is being lifted up, is a testimony to that we are one of the branches that want to remain in the vine. And so he prunes us. There is a difference between cutting the branches off and casting them into the fire and to prune them, to nurture them. If anybody has ever raised any grapes or anything of that nature, you begin to realize that there are some branches there that need to go. They're old, they're dead. And if you've gone past some vineyards, you've seen them almost in the spring stripped down to just a stalk coming out of the ground that looks like it has nothing left to it. But what that really is the vine. It's the truth vine for that branch, for that production. And the vines come out of it. And there are vines that don't have any real potential for bearing. And so those are cut off. But the ones that have good potential are nurtured and cared for. They are pruned. The word for pruned is they are lifted up to the sun in order that it may have more sunlight so that it will bear more fruit. We are those branches that desire to be pruned. We know we do not always get it right with our lives. We know we've made mistakes. We groan like the rest of creation in need of that encouragement in the face of our salvation, which is sure and secure. We find ourselves living out lives that are struggling to remain faithful to what Jesus would have us to produce. And so the scripture speaks of fruit. And as we think about that fruit, there's at least a couple of different ideas of what fruit might be. Are we producing fellow disciples? One of the realities of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is that we produce other disciples. Who will produce other disciples? Who will produce other disciples? And so it goes. It may very well mean that's part of what we're looking at. But I also think that it may be closer to the fruit of the Spirit that God wants in us. Because if we have the fruit of the Spirit, if we have that in our lives, then we become that vision of what others can hope for. When we hear from Galatians what that actually is, it says that it is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you engage with people, it is so tempting to try to identify what they are doing wrong and point it out to them in order that they can get it right. I don't know about you, but you don't have to point out my sins to me. I know them full well. I don't need that piece of help. What I need is fellow believers who continue to encourage me. When Jesus says to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Let's think back for a moment. As Jesus approached his disciples in those first times, did he approach them with words that the Pharisees would have used and was going to identify everything they were doing wrong? I don't see anything in Scripture that shows Jesus doing that as he approaches them. He comes alongside of them and sits with them. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Jesus helped them mend their nets or something of that nature. He engaged with his disciples where they were at when he first met them. And oftentimes we think that those disciples immediately followed Jesus. Well, they immediately followed Jesus, but that was about a four-year process as you study the reality of how those disciples were approached. There was a lot of time where Jesus was loving them unconditionally, because that's the only way Jesus can love, is unconditionally. He didn't go to them and point out all their mistakes. He found who they were in such a way and loved them, cared for them, nurtured them. As I look at my own journey, I'm here today because somebody did that in my life, more than just one person. In my experience, it's multiple people. My parents, my wife, my children, friends that I've come in contact with. There are many different individuals who have walked up alongside of me throughout my life to get me to where I'm at today. Dan mentioned that I was a deputy sheriff. Well, I was a deputy sheriff because I was busy arguing with God whether or not he had the right guy for this job. Now, everybody thinks that when you get into this role, then all your sins are gone, right? Well, wrong. I knew myself full well then, too. I have 10 years between my high school and college. I don't recommend it for anybody. I was trying to figure out how to spell cat again by the time I went back to college. But the reality is that because God is in our lives, interacting with us, loving us unconditionally, he draws us along in order that we can be the people that we need to be in a world that is, in fact, changing. When this facility was first built, how long ago was it? What else has changed in our world in those years? If you're a farmer, do you still farm the same way you always farmed? Or is there some differences that have taken place since this building was built? Are you a doctor? Do you go to doctors? Would you like your doctor to practice the way they practiced when this building was first built? I don't think so. I've listened to a number of people who have already talked about the various cancers and diseases they've had since I've come into this building today. We have a full expectation that our world is changing, has changed. And we in the Christian faith need to think about how we present Christ in today's terms. It's the same Jesus. It's the same reality of what Scripture teaches. That isn't changed. But how we deliver it into the lives of the world around us is definitely changing. Even the news people are not doing the news the way they did it when this facility was first built. Everything has changed as far as how we interact with the world around us. What does that call us to do? I believe that Jesus were coming for the first time today into our world, he would continue to model the very same way he did to the disciples. He would love them unconditionally. He would not try to determine how they were going to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he would simply be that person, and he would call his disciples to be that person and to carry that out. I'm encouraged when I look at Scripture and see the types of people that God uses to love one another. My wife and I are going through our devotional time right now. We've picked up the story, the book that puts the Scriptures in chronological order. There are some changes, and it's not quite there, but she has a pastor to correct wherever it's wrong. So it's good. But as we were going through it, I was thinking about coming here, and it was interesting because we just picked up the book, and so we were there where the children of Israel are coming back into the Promised Land, and they're going to Jericho, and lo and behold, who's the person that is there to guide the way? Rahab. Whoa. Rahab, you couldn't have chosen someone better, Lord, to, you know, that was a prostitute. You're using a prostitute? Later on, we find out that that's in the lineage of Jesus. Or Samson, who couldn't keep his eyes off and the foreign women. Ruth, a Moabitess. Paul, one who was first destroying the church. The disciples, who couldn't even really get it right. Even to that point in Acts where they finally were sharing the gospel, the promise of Christ. Up to that point, they were struggling. But I find great encouragement in people like that because it just demonstrates that God uses normal people to love one another as Christ has loved us. It's a call into our lives to be the very people of God. It's great for me to see some of the illustrations right here. If you can knit a little stocking cap for a child, for an infant, you've got a way to love one another. If you have compassion for our children, you can be a part of the children's church. It's two real easy ways to love one another as Christ has loved us. But there are other things that are going on in our world. When we look out and see the various things that are going on, how many of you have heard of bullying? Is that happening in any of your schools here? Where could you go in such a way as to be able to be in that setting? Maybe you would be helping in the kitchen and in the lunchroom as a place for providing service so that you're there. But in the meantime, you're looking for that child that's sitting alone. And you can be that person that loves as Christ loves for that child. We have an individual in our classes, Bob Abel, who was a pastor in the classes and was called by God to go to Thailand and participate with a group called Remember New. It's human sex trafficking that he went to care for. He's now back and creating a ministry right here in Wisconsin to assist in that reality that is being practiced right here in our state. If your heart burns for something of that nature, I can connect you real quick with Bob. He would love to hear from you and share the story. He would come here in a heartbeat and share what he is doing in caring for people right here in Wisconsin because he loves them with an unconditional love. Who are we as a church in this community going and caring for people next door to you? I happen to know that you're building a brand new retirement facility in this community. I made a call on Donald Boss when he was still here in the older facility, and he was sharing what was going to be there. And if you know, Donald never got to that facility. But he loved it. He was excited about it. I have another hat that I wear. It's called a retiree chaplain for people in Wisconsin who served the RCA. And Wendy and I have great joy in going to these various settings and visiting with both pastors or widows and just spending time with them. Now, the ones we go see maybe have more than enough visitors, but my experience as I've gone to nursing homes, they never have enough people come in, no matter who they are. But if you have a heart to care for the elderly in those settings who feel lonely, go to the nursing home and say, is there anybody I could just spend the 15, 20 minutes with that you know of? Go to the front desk. And you can love them as Christ loved us. There are so many different ways. I'm just naming a few in order to have a sense of what that might look like. But I know that if we will submit ourselves to the task, we will complete our joy. There are times when Wendy and I make the call and, you know, you're wondering if they're even going to want to fit you in. It's amazing how some of us older folks are busy. And you call them and you're thinking you're going to go and, no, we can't make it today. And we work through it. And there are times where we go and it's not always easy. But we've never left a time where we've interacted with somebody that we didn't find ourselves more joyful. And that's my point. If you want to complete your joy, we need to take our eyes off of ourselves. We're not that big of a deal. God's got us. We're already His. But if you want to have more fun, you want to have more joy in being who you are as a Christian, engage. It's so easy to think that we're the wrong person, that God's got to have somebody better than I am. Every one of us has a gift from God, and our gifts have been given to us only to assist someone else. They're not meant to make us look good. They've meant to make somebody else feel good, to be valued. We don't have to be anxious about anything. The text this morning said it. It's said in other places in Scripture. All we need to do is be people of prayer who are also ready to go into action. Because one of the things that I have found out about our God is He will answer your prayer. He will give you wisdom, but He will also show you a place to use it. It's an amazing reality about how God wants us to interact. I know there are a lot of anxieties. I know that there are a lot of concerns for our ministries. And it's not just in the Reformed Church. There's hardly a mainline denomination that isn't finding that they can't do it the same way as they've always done it. We need to rethink who is in need of God's love. Who is in need of God's valuing them? Because if we can identify that, then the answer is clear. Go and make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ is coming again. When He gets here, I hope we can all have a great sense of joy, because we're not alone. Others who are out there wandering around have come into the family of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the way that Your word speaks into our hearts, into our lives. We thank You, Lord, that it is real. We thank You that there are so many different places where You are calling Your children, Your disciples, to go and make that difference. Lord, help us to do that well. Help us to be more desirous of assisting someone else than whether or not anybody even notices who we are. Help us to get the task accomplished in order that Your name may be lifted up, that You may be honored and You may be glorified, and we might bear much fruit in order that Your Father is truly blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So as we continue to reflect on this message, the song that kind of popped into my head and has been stuck in there all week has been Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And as I'm reading through this, a lot of it ties in perfectly. The third verse, teaching us how to love each other. Great example, talking about staying close to Christ. So we invite you to all stand and join us. We're going to be in the hymn on page 90. So feel free to follow along there, or the words will be up on the screen as well. But this is Joyful, Joyful.
May we have the deacons come forward to collect the offering. And then I'm just going to give a quick prayer into that. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we appreciate all the good gifts that you give to us. And we, as a token of our response, want to give back to you. We pray that we would be able to give to the members of this church, give to the community, give to the world, and all in remembrance of you and in respect and honor and glory for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just have several announcements that I'd like to give. We have a number of announcements in the bulletin. I encourage you to read those as you have a chance, but just several that I want to quickly touch on. Number one, after the service today, we are going to have a time of fellowship down in the basement with, as Brent likes to describe them, tasty treats. I want to tell you they are so good that my wife restricts my access to them, so I hope that you'll come down and participate. And I wanted to mention that Lonnie will be leading a women's Bible study called Seamless. You can read about it in the bulletin, and it sounds exciting. It's a 7-week study that's going to encompass the whole story of the Bible. So I'm just excited listening to the video last week. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful, and I would encourage the women to attend that and participate. We have several praises that we want to share. this week. And the first one is, and I've asked her blessing if I could share this, is just Sharon Harmson has recently been to the doctor, and she is now cancer-free. And she's feeling well. And Sharon wants to say, and I want to say, praise God. We're grateful for the doctors, we're grateful for the medications, but we realize that our praise comes from God, and God is our healer. And Bev mentioned this morning that Sharon has a glow about her. I know she's feeling well. She tells me that she'd like to gain a few pounds, and I have magnanimously offered her some of the extra pounds that I have, if that would help. But she looks wonderful, and I want to praise God for that. We also, as I understand it, Bob and Audrey Zamzo have left the Christian home and are back at their home now. I don't have more of a follow-up than that, but I want to praise God that they're back home. And I also want to thank you. Many of you, or some of you may know, that my mother was brought to the emergency room a week ago last Friday. She spent a few days in the hospital. She's diagnosed with back pain from arthritis. She is now, since Thursday, back in the Christian home, but she's in the rehab unit. And so that's, she has some good times and some bad times, but she wants to express her thanks to the members of Trinity for all of the support that you've had. This has been kind of a rather quick turnaround. I know Mark Van Buren was going to visit her in the hospital on Thursday, and by the time he got there, they'd already moved her back to the Christian home. But I just want to thank you so much for the outpouring, the number of visits, and the support of the people of Trinity. We want to praise God for that. So I want to thank you all for that. I promised that I was going to give Kent an opportunity to talk. And Kent, I'd like you to come up here. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take just a minute and pray for you also, and also for Wendy. You know, Kent, as the classes coordinator, has to deal with all of the churches of our denomination within the Wisconsin area. And as he was preaching, I was thinking that is a job quite a bit like herding cats. So for a man who had a difficult time spelling cats, now he has a much bigger task, and that is working with all of us. And occasionally we can be a bit unruly. So I want to just express a quick prayer for you, and then I'm going to let you talk a little bit about what's going on in the denomination. So again, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to just lift up Kent and Wendy at this point, and I want to thank you for the ministry that they've had. I want to thank you for the various experiences they've had and how you have made that a part of their message to the world, and in particular to our classes here in Wisconsin and to the churches that they work with. I pray that you would make his path easy, and that you would lay in front of him the direction that he needs to go, and continue to lead and guide him, and continue to bless his ministry with us. So we thank and praise you for bringing him to us. We thank you for giving him to us. We pray that you would give us all vision for where our classes can go, where our churches can go, and how we can reach out to our communities and to the world and represent the love and the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Dan. Back in October, it was my first opportunity to share with the classes some of what I believe was some things that we are in the process of dealing with. And the reality is that I did feel like I was more the coordinator of chaos than the coordinator of classes, because there are a number of issues. There are things that are happening in our denomination, in our ministries, in our in places where our churches are trying to make a difference. But over time, it's obvious that God's got this one too. It's so easy to lose sight of how God is bringing his church through this tumultuous world. But God was gracious in what he did when Christ came to us and provided a way for salvation to be real. And I believe that that task is still before us, hence the message. But I also believe this. We are not in the worst of times as a denomination. I believe we are in the best of times. For years, we have gone through difficult times, and issues have been left sitting. And the good news is there are people in place at the denominational level that are seeking to make the kinds of changes that I believe we in Wisconsin are going to find very heartwarming. We have a new general secretary in Eddie Alamein, who is very deliberate about wanting to bring back a global vision of what Christ Church can be. He's got some lofty goals, but he has a heart that is conservative in a way that we understand the word conservative. I say that very deliberately because the fact of the matter is a lot of people use liberal and conservative and progressive and a number of other words, and they put their own definition to it. I like what I hear. I had the privilege of having him pop down beside me at breakfast one morning when I was out in Phoenix. Didn't recognize him. Looked kind of familiar, and I said, I should know you. And the guy that I was sitting with said, that's the general secretary, Kent. Okay. So tell me, where do you see the denomination going? And I had the privilege of listening to him for 30 minutes pour out his heart, saying things that I had desired to be able to hear for the 30 years I was in ministry. There was that much clarity in his voice. We had him speak to the classes meeting by way of Zoom, the electronics. Classes doesn't do it the way we did it 30 years ago either, or 40 years ago. The fact of the matter is, we are in a new place. And even though we have had 4 churches already leave the denomination from our classes, one of the hearts that we've had as our committee has gone through was, is there a way that we could ask you to put on hold where you're at in your thinking until we can demonstrate where the denomination is actually going? And that continues to be the leadership of classes' heart. My heart is that we all take a deep breath for another 18 months, but in that time, do what we can to be the very best ministries we can be where we are locally, just like we sought to do for years. Some of our ministries are in excess of 160 years old now in this classes. Some are younger. But the fact of the matter is that we have a dynamic ministry. We may have shrunk some numerically, but that doesn't mean the love that we have has shrunk. It just simply means we each have to carry out more of it in this process. But here's one of the things that I believe. I believe that it's our responsibility to love one another as Christ loved us, and God will give the increase. We don't increase the church. God increases his church. I have always believed in my ministry that God brings the people he needs in a certain setting for it to be successful. Not necessarily large. If you remember the story of Gideon, he had to get down to 300 people out of 30,000 so that God would get the glory and not the army. We are God's people. We are God's army. The last thing I would say right now is, as I come into ministries, I always have to almost earn my right as somebody coming in. Because here comes the classes. No. Every church is the classes. You are part of the classes. I am only a person who serves the classes. I do not come in to try to point out what I think you should do. I'm here to help you do what God has called you to do. I'm just an assistant in the task. So with that said, I want to invite you to utilize the resources that we have across the denomination. There are a lot of people who want to serve and assist in the way the ministry can happen here. It's not to try to commandeer your ministry. That would be a huge mistake. Each one has to function within the parameters that God has set for it. But I do believe there are others that have done some things before, and as you think about how you would like to do them, they can help get you to your point faster. They can provide ideas of how that actually can work. I hope some of the illustrations I used in my message were practical, because I think that's one of the things where our churches have kind of languished. We hold on tightly to the things of the scriptures. I believe we've learned very well how to defend our faith, maybe not so much how to deliver our faith. And it has to be a both and. It's not an either or. We have to maintain the understanding and the knowledge, but we also have to deliver to those who are out there and can't figure out how to become a part. We need to smooth that way. So that's what I want to do to help you. I can help you in any way. If it means fill in for your pastor for a Sunday, that's awesome. But if there's anything else I can do, be happy to do that too. And I'll stick around if you have any personal thoughts or questions later on. You want to come up and visit a little bit. I'll stick around till my wife always tells me, why do we always have to be the last ones out of the building? And I'll say the same thing I said to the classes a couple weeks ago, because I love you. That's a fact. Dan and I were wrestling as to who got dishonor. Let's stand in. The Lord calls out to each of us to be his person. Go. Go to them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to God be the glory. Amen.